again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 231 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. We follow the same format as the great Frank Fitzsimmons, so we merely call it Where Fitz Left Off. And you'd have to be close to 50 years old if you can remember when the commercial Christmas parade was canceled and the churches sponsored a Keeping Christ in Christmas religious parade. I said in the beginning you'd have to be 50 years old to remember the Keeping Christ in Christmas parade. You'd have to be even older if you remember the years in the city schools when each elementary class would practice singing carols in their classroom. And then, just before Christmas, all the classes would march to the First Methodist Church. This was long before it became United. And the balconies would be filled to the rafters with the students singing their annual Christmas concert. The main floor was reserved for mostly the mamas and papas and other adults that wanted to come. In those years, there were no such songs as Mama Got Run Over by a Reindeer, or Daddy Got Drunk and Fell in the Christmas Tree, or dogs barking jingle bells. There wasn't even Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or even White Christmas. Other than Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Jingle Bells, and Up on the Housetop, most of the Christmas songs then were Christmas carols. If you remember, White Christmas was the first really big new pop song for Christmas, and that was not introduced until 1942 in the picture Holiday Inn. Even in the 40s, in the early years of WHKP, you'd be reminded that, well, counting today, you have only 20 shopping days till Christmas. You see, back then stores weren't open on Sunday, and stores didn't decorate until around the 1st of December, or certainly no earlier than Thanksgiving, that is, except for Woolworth's and McClellan's. We told you last week about throwing turkeys off the roofs of buildings downtown. That was a big deal back then. And you didn't really recall seeing the big Christmas parades in small towns until after World War II. In the late 1940s and the very early 50s, it all changed. Christmas became one of the biggest shopping months of the entire year. Still is the biggest month for jewelry firms. The Christmas parades got bigger. Santa was arriving not only earlier, but in sleighs and helicopters. And the cash registers kept singing a merry song. In 1952, and I don't remember who to credit, but the churches and the ministerial association said, enough is enough. It's time to put Christ back into Christmas. A delegation of religious leaders met with the merchants and the Chamber of Commerce office and asked that the 1952 Christmas parade be totally religious, with the floats built and provided by individual churches in the community. The merchants thought the concept was a great idea, but could individual churches, loosely coordinated, with virtually no budget, really put together something meaningful? The religious leaders had no qualms, no misgivings of any kind. The merchants, pointing out that Santa Claus being so embedded in the holiday observance should be included in the parade somewhere, the religious leaders agreed and said Santa, maybe after a separation of a block or so, Santa, preceded by a band, would arrive on his float, thereby separating the religious parade from the secular Santa Claus. The parade was staged on the night of December 1st, 1952, and in spite of sub-freezing weather, a crowd estimated larger than that which had seen the Apple Parade in 1952, and that was estimated as the biggest crowd ever to assemble in Hendersonville, the crowd turned out up to an hour before the parade began. And so much individual work had been done by members of these various churches. They wanted the parade to be seen by as many as possible, so the route was not only down Main Street, but then back up Church Street to the starting point at Five Points. And the parade was truly spectacular. A color guard led by the church flag, and with the Reverend Allard Garron bearing an open Bible, headed the parade. The theme was established in the leading float, an altar, and an open Bible bearing the inscription, "The Greatest Story Ever Told." Following were floats in tableau design, telling the Christmas story from the prophecy of the coming of Christ to the accomplishment of the prophecy through the birth of the Savior in the Bethlehem manger. Included were floats of the decree of Augustus Caesar, the journey of Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, the refusal of room at the inn, the manger scene, the vision of the shepherds, the appearance of the three kings to Herod, the visit of the shepherds and the three kings to the manger, and finally the worldwide spread of Christianity as depicted in a float with children dressed as from all nations. The realism was awesome. Live sheep were used, actual campfires burned on the floats. Traditional hymns were sung by marching choirs and played by four bands. The participating bands were Ecusta, Hendersonville High, Ninth Avenue High, and the Junior High Band. And at the very end, after the religious parade had ended, here came Santa Claus in a 36-foot-long float with mechanized prancing reindeers. While several attempts were made to recreate that parade, only the first one, the one in 1952, stands in memory as one of the greatest parades ever witnessed by this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and with a job he's loved all his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.